All right, church, today we are in Joshua chapter 8. We're continuing to look at the book of Joshua and the way the people of Israel conquered the land of Israel, or you could say brought God's judgment upon the land that would become Israel. So in this chapter, they are going to defeat the city of Ai. We saw in the previous chapter, Ai beat them in the first battle. Learn a lot of lessons from that, and primarily don't compromise with sin. But here in chapter 8, they beat Ai, and they beat them good and hard, and they beat them thoroughly, okay? Most of this chapter is a description of the battle and the strategy for how to win the battle. And Joshua sends a force this way and then a force in behind. The force is coming up the front, turns around and runs. It draws all the fighting men out of the city to chase them, and then the ambush army from the back attacks into the abandoned city, completely destroyed it. The fighting men of Ai that were chasing the first army of Israel turn around, see their city on fire, and sure enough, now they're surrounded by the Israelite army they were chasing. That suddenly stops and says, hey, we're not running anymore. We were just a decoy. Meanwhile, the other side pinches them in, and it's a total victory. Israel won completely. It said nobody was left. They took them all. Okay. Verse 25, all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Now in this city, God tells them they can take the spoil for themselves. They destroy the city. They're not to leave anyone alive, because this is judgment. This is God's judgment. This is not just them conquering land just for themselves. This is God's judgment on the inhabitants of the land. And now he's letting Israel keep the spoils. To the victor goes the spoils, right? They have to give him the first fruits, which was Jericho. And that was done in faith. And now that they're in Ai, they get to keep it. So that's what happened here. But I want to look at this. It's a relatively simple chapter. I'm not going to draw tons of lessons out of it, but there are a few. Namely, they finish what they started, and they do this one right. In Jericho, they did it almost right. Everybody but Achan got it right. And Achan's sin became a major issue for all of Israel to deal with. But the fact that they dealt with it brought them to a greater humility and a greater dependence on God. They did not tolerate sin. God sent them as a judgment against the sin of the people of the land. And so he cannot have them committing sin themselves, chasing after the same things that the people of the land were chasing after. So now that when they beat Ai, they get it right. They killed them all. That's what it says. Utterly destroyed them all. Verse 27, Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave the command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the city gate and raised over it a heap of stones that stands to this day. Total destruction, okay? They don't spare anybody. This is what God had told them to do, and they obeyed it. Nobody tried to bend the rules. Now check this out, though. It's not over yet. Verse 30, then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool. They offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. It's not over until they have built an altar and until they have offered sacrifices on that altar. All of this is just told in the story of the battle. The whole thing, start to finish, is all about dedication to God. And start to finish means it's not finished until we've worshiped. That's what they're there for. That is why they are here. They are establishing worship of the true God. Judgment on all false gods. Worship the true God. We don't just destroy, we build. And what's the first thing they build? An altar to God. They built it the way they're commanded to, an altar of uncut stones which no man, on which no man had wielded an iron tool. God doesn't need their improvements on things. He doesn't want them being proud of the altars they build. He just wants them to worship. So the whole thing is done as an act of worship. They consecrated themselves before the battle. They eliminated sin from their midst. They went out in victory, refusing fear, as they had feared the first time. They had a compromise with sin, and it had weakened their resolve. It had weakened their understanding of who they were up against. And they turned and ran in fear. Now that they have dealt with sin, and they have put on, you could say, the armor of God, their mindset is now clear. They know what they need to do. Now they're ready to go. And they're doing it. And they do it as worship. And they just continue doing it as worship. And they're not done until they've built the altar and worshiped. In your life, you've got certain probably idols that need to be torn out. You got certain strongholds that need to be wrecked, ruined, burned to the ground, and destroyed. If you have a habit of sin, if you have a compromise of sin, that you maybe you, we play these weird head games with ourselves, right? Like, I'm not gonna commit adultery, but you know, I certainly will dwell upon and think about and lust after certain people or whatever. I'm not gonna look at porn, but I'll look at pictures, kind of like, well, define porn, you know. And we try to blur the line and make a gray area where God says it's sin. Well, there's none of that. There's no Achans left in Israel. There's no people blurring the line. It's God's standard, period. And that's where they're left. They're gonna obey this completely, and they're not gonna withdraw. They're not gonna go back and forth. They're not gonna go sideways. They're gonna be careful to obey all that He's commanded. They're not going to depart one step to the left or the right. They're going to be careful to obey, all right? They build this altar. This is all about worship, the whole thing. In your life, I was starting to go this way, got sidetracked. In your life, you need to stop compromising with sin. You need to stop having anything to do with it. You need to burn it to the ground like Ai. And then, in combination, the day is not through yet, then you need to replace that idol with godly worship. With godly worship that is aligned with God's program of worship. All right? Otherwise, if you just eliminate sin from your life and then think, okay, that was the Christian life, number one, that's exhausting. Number two, it's not really going to fully work because that's not the whole Christian life. And number three, sin, the temptations of sin will come right back. You've got to occupy yourself. You've got to build something new. You have fortresses to tear down, strongholds to tear down of sin, of temptation. Tear them down, absolutely, and hold no prisoners. They don't keep anybody alive, all right? They don't just stop looking at porn but continue to lust. They root and branch the whole thing. Rip it out. Burn it down, okay? They don't just stop using curse words out loud. They stop thinking curse words. Burn it to the ground and build something new. God's kingdom is not just about destroying and judgment on sin. That's half of it. You don't get anywhere without that. We're not going to whitewash and sugarcoat God's judgment. It's real, and it would be foolish to pretend it's not. It'd be unbiblical. But don't, in your zeal to kill sin by the Spirit, Romans 8:13, by the Spirit, you're to be built up. You're to be building something new in its place. All right? Same with your children. When you discipline them for their wickedness. They did something they should not have done, their disobedience or something. You discipline them, and you train them in righteousness. You don't just discipline them. I mean, they don't learn any lessons from that. All they learn from that is, Mom and Dad are mean sometimes, and they hurt me, or they punish me, or they send me to my room. No, build them in right, show them, tell them how to do it right. I mean, it's common sense, right? They destroy Ai, they build the altar, they worship, and they worship according to God's prescribed methods. So replace your sin strongholds. Don't just burn them down. replace them with righteousness strongholds. Replace them in that way. Devote your time to God's word, to leading your family and praying together, to church, to Bible studies, to home groups, to whatever's going on. Get in it and build up God's righteous foundation, God's righteous fortification in your life. Joshua then, verse 32, he wrote there, they're on top of Mount Ebal. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel with their elders and officers, their judges, were standing on both sides of the ark. It goes on here. Half stood at Mount Gerizim, the other half stood in front of Mount Ebal. Read, this is all in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, there's a series of blessings and curses, and they're supposed to write these things down and say them to one another as a reminder. And that's what they're doing. We're going to get into that in tomorrow's little podcast message here. But I wanted to point it to you. All of this is in the course of destroying Ai. They're not done until they've burned it to the ground, but built an altar of true worship, opened God's word, written it down, and spoken it to each other. Then Ai is defeated. That's when the chapter ends. That's when the next thing comes along. Verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. That's how that concludes. They destroy Ai. And that's the big victory. That's the military strategy. That's the, yeah, woohoo, we got it. But they do not stop there. Joshua says, I'm going to make certain, like God said, to obey all that he's commanded. Be careful to obey all I've commanded you. And Joshua wants to be careful. He learned his lesson from Achan. He was careful with Achan. Everybody in Israel was careful except one guy. And Joshua's like, we're going to get even more careful. We're going to do this right. And we're not done until we're done worshiping. And we're not done worshiping until we've done all that God has commanded us. And that's what he does. And he's makes sure to do it. with the women and the little ones and the strangers, everybody up the mountain, we're opening God's word. And this is how we do it here. Now, we're done after we do all of that, okay? Your work is not done until you have replaced all of your sin with righteousness and are spreading God's righteousness to others. A disciple makes disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Live it out, do it, and then hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You were careful to obey. Okay? Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll dig in, finish. We'll look a little closer into those blessings and curses at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Out of Deuteronomy. We'll look at those tomorrow in the next podcast. God bless you. I'll see you then.